Well, again, good morning, and I'm glad to be here this morning. I pray that you have had a good Christmas, and now we look to the new year, the year 2026. Wow. Do you know that we're closer to 2050 than we are to 1999? Or we're even closer to 2075 than we are to 1976. I mean, man, that's just mind-blowing. We can't go back, but we can press forward. And so since we had the snowstorm back on November 30th, things have kind of worked out providentially. We're running kind of 1 week behind for Advent, which Advent's usually the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. Today, the final sermon topic is that of love. Next week, I plan to start a new sermon series, so it just kind of worked out great for us. You've got 12 days of Christmas anyway, right? As the song goes, and leading up to January 5th, the 12th night symbolizing the time where the Magi, the wise men, they come to worship the newborn king. And so we can be just still a little more festive and sing Christmas songs for just a little longer. Amen. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? The end. We're told in Ecclesiastes 7:8 that the end is better than the beginning. The conclusion of a year, the conclusion of finishing a project, an experience, it's often so much better than just the beginning. So next week, we're going to start a new year. We're going to start the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, or Revelation in short. But on the topic of love, there's so many phrases that go along with love. Some things the internet says about love. I'm careful on looking on the internet, but it says, love makes the world go round. Love makes you blind. Love makes things happen. Love makes you do stupid things. Rick Coy, who is an avid Beatles fan, he says, all you need is love. Oh, you can't see it very well, but off to the right is a picture. You can't see it very well, but I'm so sad because that's a picture of Rick and Gwen. And I was really hoping to find a picture of Rick with longer hair. So here's your first application point. Kids, be careful what you post online. Someone can and always will find it. But Rick, thank you for always being willing to play for us, to help pick songs out. Thank you very much. But as we look at the Bible, it is truly a love letter to us. It's saturated with God's sacrificial love for humanity. And if I were to try to summarize for you or anyone else the biblical gospel and what is love, we might turn to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's about 23 words. Michael Rydelnik, he was one of my professors at Moody, he gives the gospel in 25 words. He says or summarizes the gospel as this. He says, the wrong things we do separate us from God. Messiah Jesus died, taking our punishment, and rose again, proving that he is God. Trust in him. Amen. So as we start the new year, I want Watson Bible Church to be gospel saturated. I want us to be a gospel saturated people. My desire is that we become greater, intensified, mission-focused, that we become mission-minded, great commission, and great commandment people. Now, like anything, it's going to be difficult. It's going to take effort. It may hurt, but the reward is excellent. So if you're starting to make New Year's resolutions for the upcoming year, I would encourage you to make one that challenges yourself to be more evangelistic. A Holy Spirit life that is bold and is characterized by zealously sharing the gospel. And so I also want to point to you a statement. A famous, well-known magician by the name of Penn Jillette, he writes this. He says, "I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect them at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, a people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think that it's not really worth telling them because it would make it socially awkward. An atheist who think people shouldn't proselytize and who say, just leave me alone and keep your religion to yourself, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that?" Now that should make us feel uncomfortable. We should be the most loving people group. We should be telling others about the Savior, Christ, the Lord. Because you never know how long you will be here on this earth, when your last year may be. You never know what a person's time will be on this earth, the person you may be witnessing to before their time is up. The Lord is at hand. And so today we come across the fourth advent of love. The topic of love, biblical love, is described as something that is selfless, that is unconditional, something that looks to the best for the other person. And we have God's sacrificial love, the Father sending the Son to be our payment because we had sinned. We were separated from God. And the Creator, He calls, He woos us, He draws us by the Holy Spirit. And all of us have been converted in different ways, different circumstances, but all drawn by the power of the Spirit. And the Father calls us and He grafts us into relationship with Himself to love others. But as we start, let me ask a question. What is something that you love? If you're a mother, you might say, well, you love your kids. You might say your spouse. Maybe you love a medium rare ribeye steak with a sweet potato and chocolate decadent lava cake dessert with ice cream. I hope I've maybe started to whet your appetite a little bit. You may love a lot of things. Today we're going to see that God is love. So open with me in your copies of God's Word to 1 John 4. The best way to find it is you can either check at the index in the front, but if you start at the end with Revelation and you start going back a few pages, you have Jude, and then 3 John and 2 John, only about 13, 14 verses, and then you find 1 John. If you get to Peter, James, or Hebrews, you've gone too far to the left. But 1 John 4, verse 7, 1 John 4, 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, as well as the book of Revelation, are all believed to be written by the disciple John, who also wrote the Gospel of John. There's really no dispute about the authorship of the five books penned by the one who leaned back on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper and asked who would betray him. The same John that was with Peter and is the brother of James, who was at the transfiguration of our Lord. If you remember the Gospel of God, the Gospel of John, towards the end, we were given this great purpose statement of the gospel. John 20:31, it says, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ," or the Messiah, the Son of God, "and that by believing, you may have life in his name." Similarly, here in 1 John 5:13, it says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have assurance and certainty that you have eternal life." The New King James, it also implies that you may continue to believe, because belief is continual. It's cumulative. We keep on believing. We keep on confessing. We keep on repenting. Verse 7 here starts out with, "Beloved," it is written to believers. "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today." Wait, that's the wrong sermon. Usually you hear "dearly beloved" at a wedding or a funeral. It just means loved very much. The disciple John is known as the beloved disciple. We're shown that there's this closeness to Jesus. Nothing that's inappropriate, nothing that's sexual, but John has self-declared that he is the disciple whom Jesus loved. Though John was the one that was at the crucifixion. He's the one that took care of Jesus' mother after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. And so just a side note, godly men are to be men of love. They are to love their wives. They are to love their children with God's selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. Godly men are to embody Christ-like qualities like love. John 15:13, we're told, "No greater love," we're told that "greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." That's what the Lord wants for us. He laid down his life for us. We're to follow in Christ's example. We're to pick up our cross daily, and we are to follow after him. We are to love our wives. We are to love our children. Verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." And so the first point that we have today is the origin of love. Verse 7, it says, "Love is of God." God is the source. He's the very essence of what it means to love. It is in his fundamental nature, because it is what he is. God is love. We are to love God. We are to love others. The origin of love is from God, because love is from God. It's his nature. He is the origin of love. When we are born of God, when we're born again by the Spirit of God, it's only then can we truly love, because love is of God. The first letter of 1 John. It is to the beloved, the called out ones, those that believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that Jesus came from the Father, that Jesus was the anointed Messiah, and that Jesus is God. Even 2,000 years ago, we were told it is the last hour. The Word of God, the Spirit of God should challenge us both then and now how we are to live, how we're to live with one another, how we are to live in this world, how to live with the expectation that Jesus will return. We're to be people of love. Just earlier, if you look up just a few verses to verse 2, it says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." We are children of God when we have confessed Jesus as Lord. And in doing so, the Holy Spirit resides within us. We don't speak as the world speaks anymore. But this world has a demonic spirit that is against the Spirit of God. Verse 6 says, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." We could easily say that love is commanded here, just like we said last week, that we were commanded to have joy. We are commanded to love one another. We have this call for believers, the beloved, to practice ongoing mutual love for one another. If you look over at 1 John 3:23, it says, "This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us." This so echoes what Jesus said back in John 13. If you remember Maundy Thursday, Maundy comes from the word mandate or command. Jesus says in John 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So we have belief and we have love. Verse 7 is key. It says, "Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." If you love God, if you call yourself a Christian, if you've been born again by the Spirit of the living God, then you are going to be a loving person. Verse 8 says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God has many things described in his word. Earlier in 1 John, we're told that God is spirit, and we're told that God is light. We're told over and over again that God is just, that he is righteous, and he is good. The Bible talks about many attributes that discuss God. Today we're going to just glimpse at the attribute of love. Verse 8 says, "God is love." It's not just love is love. That love is love is the rally cry of all the letters of the alphabet, of the world. They want you and they demand that you accept, that you're affirming, that you support one another in matters of sexual preference. That's not love. That's not freedom. That's coercion. If you believe just love is love and not God is love, you remove God from the picture. You twist what the Bible says. Because the world, they will say, well, a person can't help who they fall in love with. The world's view of love is not real love. It's usually infatuation. It's hormone-induced lust. Because true love is something that is intentional, something that is selfless. It is the ultimate display of love that was done on the cross for us. By God sending His Son to be our payment, He gave Himself as a sacrifice, dying for us in our stead. Because we stood opposed to God, we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. We only know what the true definition of love is because God is love. He's the one that defines what love is because He is the source of love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German preacher and spy and even assassin who tried to assassinate Hitler, he said what love is. He says, only Christ tells us in His word, contrary to all my opinions and convictions, Jesus Christ will tell me what love is, bound solely to the word of Jesus Christ. And so we've seen the origin of love because God is love. Next, John is going to show us this great picture of how God loves us. Point two is the love of God is revealed in His Son, Jesus. Verses 9 and 10. In this is the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His one and only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Begotten, also used in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's important that we know and that we understand what words mean. I really try not to dumb things down. As I preach, I want to remind you, I want to stir you within us, as Jude says, to exhort you to contend earnestly to the faith which was once delivered to all the saints. Because I believe it's important not to dismiss from biblical language. Jesus is called God's only begotten Son. Begotten is important. Monogenes, mono meaning one, genos meaning type or kind. It's important to know that Jesus, the Son of God, is unique. He's not made. He's the one and only Son of God, as defined by the Nicene Creed and the Scripture, as begotten and not made. Jesus is not the Michael Archangel. He's not the first created being. No, Jesus has always been in existence. He is in the beginning with God because Jesus was God. He is God. He's begotten, not made or created. Words are important. Denying Jesus, you also deny the Father, we're told. Jesus has this unique, one-of-a-kind relationship with the Father and with the Spirit. Three persons, one unique essence, holy, other. God's love is shown, it's revealed to us in His one and only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we celebrate at Advent, the coming of the Savior into the world to pay for the sins of mankind, but also to pay for our own personal sin. Because there was real separation that we had because we had sinned. And if you look at the end of verse 9 with me, it says that we might live through Him. Before confessing, before knowing that Jesus was our Lord and Savior, we were separated from Him. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses. We had no claim on anything. There was no power within us. There was nothing. We were dead. There was no hope. There was no peace. There was no joy. There's no love. All of those topics of Advent, we had nothing. But thank God He sent Jesus. Because of Jesus, we live. We receive regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:8, 2 Timothy 2:11, they both paint for us this beautiful picture that if we died with Christ, we also will live with Him. Because only Only if we are united in Jesus' death can we be united with him in his resurrection. Verse 10, it says, "And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God the Father sent God the Son to be the payment for us, to be the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, where the high priest would sprinkle blood, symbolizing God's mercy by covering sin and pointing to us to the ultimate sacrifice of the Son of God that would bring atonement and forgiveness of sins by offering himself. This is how true love is revealed, the giving of everything so that we could be redeemed, that we could be reconciled, that we could be brought back into right relationship with God. God is the origin of love because he is love. He's manifested, he's revealed to us his love through his one and only Son. Thirdly, love beckons us to love one another. Verse 11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Since or if, because God so loved us by sending his one and only Son to die for us, we are also to love one another. And you guys do such a great job, but the love of God that is given to us, it beckons us to show love back to God, but also to enable us to actually love one another. God's love commands us to love one another. If we've been born again, that love will be a natural result of God's presence in our life. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Love. Verse 12, it says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us." If we love one another, then God's Holy Spirit abides, it lives, it's manifested within us. Well, how can God's love be perfected? Isn't God already perfect? Yes, perfected here means brought to completion. When God's presence is within us through the Holy Spirit, God allows his love to be shown to others. It's seen, it's known by others. It's demonstrated by God's presence when we show love to one another. Now, there are going to be times when you don't feel like loving others. I get it. The strength to love doesn't come from within you. It comes from God's presence, from his Holy Spirit residing inside us. We need to love one another as dear friends. We need to have a love for the unsaved. Now, there might come a time maybe in this upcoming year where you may not feel loved by God. You may not feel loved by others. Maybe you're going to experience a challenge this year. Maybe a death. Maybe a troubling time. Let me tell you, God still loves you. God still cares. Things may not go as we want, but God is in control. God still loves each and every one of you. He doesn't love as the world loves. His love is greater than any other. God loves us even when things are hard, even when things are tough, even when you and I are unloving. If God is love, then never has God acted in a way that is unloving. If God is love, God is not selfish like us. God knows everything that you and I go through. In his nature, he is love. God loves us even when we are at our very worst. God doesn't ask that you get your stuff together before he can love you. God is love. God loves us when we're at our worst, even when we are unlovable. And the way we receive God's love is that we confess Jesus as Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're told, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here in 1 John 4:15 it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Verse 16, we have known and believed the love of God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love. He is the origin of love. The love of God is revealed in his Son. We are therefore called to love one another. We do this through him, by knowing, by believing, by continually confessing Christ. Because when we confess Jesus as Lord, as God, he comes, he abides, he tabernacles, he pitches his tent, he takes up residency within us. And so I pray that as we come to 2026, that you and I, we will seek ways to be more loving, and that we will seek ways to share the love of God, to be on purpose for God, to trust him, to rest on him, and to confess him. The disciple John, he will close his letter with this. He says, and we know that the Son of God has come. He has given us understanding that we may know what is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can know and that we can believe your love for us. That it was manifested when you sent your one and only begotten Son into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, and yet born as a baby. Thank you for the Christ child. And though we are now past Christmas, I pray that you will help us to still reflect on his coming to this world and hopefully his soon return. That he came, he lived the perfect life, he died the death that we deserved, and that he was raised from the grave. You rose your Son to show your approval for his sacrifice. Lord, I pray that you would make us a loving people. Lord, make me a loving pastor. Make me a loving husband, a loving father. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you because you are love. You have defined what love is. Lord, I ask that you would bless us, that you would help us by the Holy Spirit to make application to our lives. Lord, bless us as we leave this place. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to go and to tell others about your love. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name.